As varied as our topography and soils, as rich as our resources, so varied and rich are the voices and stories of the folks around us. Come neighbor a bit with me, Sam Stroop. Grab a cup of coffee, pull up a comfy chair, let's get to talking. Early on in this exercise of recording local Howard County voices, I couldn't resist seeing what I could pull out of Peter Schwarzentruber, who prefers just being called Pete. I just finished watching a Facebook video Pete's girlfriend posted. Pete is a horseman. He is working with a saddlebred horse on the video, a very high-strung breed. The first time I saw a saddlebred, my reaction was, "That horse has thunder in its eyes." In the video, Pete is nonchalantly standing on the horse's back. The horse is walking down the road. In one hand, Pete is wagging a white sheet in the horse's face, and in the other hand, he's working a bullwhip, cracking it constantly near the right side of the horse's face. The horse and Pete are heading down the road, calm and content. The cars driving by are probably not reacting so calmly to the sight. So that's the horseman I'm about to talk with. I just enjoy being around Pete. Physically, there's not much to him. When he was a few pounds lighter, he jockeyed horses some, and if he spit all day, he could probably get back down to that 120 pounds. He was born in Ohio, raised Amish near Trenton, Missouri. He found his way here when he was 17, living south of Glasgow in Rick Carmack's old house. Pete's on the quiet side, but I'm going to pull his story out of him. Yeah. What you been up to today?
Been working on a steel building.
There at Sedalia?
No, over at Kansas City.
Oh, you had a long drive then. That's why. And you're going to work there tomorrow, or are you going to shoe horses around here?
I'll probably go back tomorrow, and then Monday and Tuesday I'll go back, and then the rest of the week I'll be around here.
Okay, yeah. So things are starting to pile up.
Yeah.
Around here.
Yeah, I still, as long as the weather holds out, I still got a lot of work.
Yeah. I was in the woods a couple hours and then doing a lot of fencing. Cows have discovered they can eat through a woven wire all the hay that I was saving for when the snow hits.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to get the hot wire going to keep them out of there and move them to another part of the farm. And ho hum. Another day on the farm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What is the building that you're doing over there in Kansas City now?
It's just what they're going to do, they're going to do baseball practice.
Huh. Inside?
Inside.
So it's pretty good size then?
Yeah, it's, I want to say 80 by 100.
How high is the ceiling got to be on something like that?
It really ain't that high. I don't know whether it's... Mm-hmm.
Well, they probably aren't as wild when they hit the balls as a...
that's what I was thinking. Like, when I went to school, we used to play baseball at school and shoot. We'd play outside, and we'd always hit it all the way
up in the air.
Across the highway. Right. We'd hit the ball across the highway. Yeah. I mean, some of the older kids. But,
well, I guess if it hits the wall, it hits the wall and won't go no further.
Well, I played softball for a year, and how they had us practice with the machine, and they put it in like a big net.
Yeah, yeah.
So the ball can't go out.
Right, right. What's the next job?
I got a crew over here at Columbia.
Okay.
Just building a building. They want me to help next week as much as I can, but...
Okay.
I'm going to have quite a few horses next week, too.
Yeah. So, you work with more than one crew, depending upon where you want to end up?
I'm part-time with this crew and part-time with that crew, and then I'm shoeing horses. And during summer, I'm rodeoing and shoeing horses, and I don't hardly get to work any.
Perfect crew is what size? Or does that depend on the building?
That depends a lot on the building. Mm-hmm. I like hog barns.
Yeah.
Hog barns, just 8-foot walls, no lifts, no...
Yeah.
I mean, 8 foot's a little bit hard to reach, but, I mean, you get on stilts, it's fairly easy.
Yeah. So today on that big 80 by 100, were you putting tin on or what?
Yeah,
what was the job?
Yep, we put all the sights on today.
When you hit the site, all the cement work is done and the major cement or major metal framing is already up.
No, just the concrete.
Just concrete.
Just concrete pads. We drill all the holes for the bolts, and we put the beams up, and then we put the rafters up, and everything just bolts together.
Tell me a little bit about the crew that you worked with today. How many were there?
Oh, let's see. There'd be five of us.
Okay. And do they all head home after the day, or some of them stay in Kansas City?
They all head home. Yeah. Now, we will have a chop up there at Wichita, Kansas, after New Year's. Mm-hmm. And they'll stay up there all week.
Yeah. Do you put in more than 40 hours a week, or do they hold you to 40 hours?
It depends. I mean, during the summer, we'll work 60 hours. I mean, it just depends on the weather. Depends on, you know, we work.
Do you get time and a half then?
No, we just stay on regular time. But
do you have health insurance?
Yeah, they got insurance and everything. Okay. Yep.
Is it good just if you get hurt on the job, or is it cover you for things that, you know, you get a hernia or you have an appendectomy, and so, you know, it'll cover all your health problems or just related to work, do you know?
I really ain't sure. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't been into that too much.
Yeah.
Insurance is insurance to me.
You haven't needed to use it, so you don't know all about it.
I've had a lot of injuries. More than likely, I just go to chiropractor. I know a real good chiropractor down there in California.
Yeah.
He's always been real good to me.
Is this a job you see yourself doing even after you start a family? Or will things have to change then?
No, I don't think so. If I had the time and I had the money, if I had the money and I've had the place, I'd probably just work with horses, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. My dad's always trained horses, shoot horses, and
that's, so you're not doing your dream job now.
Not really. I'm just kind of doing it for the money, really.
Yeah.
It's good. Construction work's good money.
Right. Yep. And it works into your life now.
Yeah, and having part-time job, that's one reason. I used to have a full-time job. It's real good money, you know. Mm-hmm. Have a full-time job, right. you get overtime, you get paid extra, and bonuses and everything. But now I just got two part-time jobs, and I don't have to be dependable. They don't depend me.
Right.
I mean, I'll tell them I'll be there tomorrow. Yeah. I'll be there tomorrow, but I may not be there the next day or the next day, you know.
Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of weather y'all don't work in?
Yeah. If it gets real cold, we usually are rainy or nasty. Mm-hmm. But, we work most days.
Yeah. In other words, if you're sopping wet, it's quitting time.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. And never too hot in the summer. If you're sopping wet from sweat, that's no excuse to quit.
No, we've worked a lot of hot days.
Yeah, yeah. When you shoe horses, I guess it really varies how many you can get in a day, depending upon how many different jobs you're going to and this and that.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think is the most your body has been able to handle in one day of shoeing? Have you done as many as 50 in a day? No.
I've done as much as 15 a day.
50 or 15?
15.
15, okay. Yep.
Yeah. But it definitely is a full day's work, and you'll feel it the next day.
Yeah, yeah. Who did you learn horseshoeing from?
Mostly from my dad, and then I got a friend. He shoots a lot for the university down there at Columbia.
Okay.
And he's taught me quite a few lessons.
Mm-hmm. But
My dad used to shoe quite a bit.
Yeah.
Shoe and train.
So I guess if you're around four different farriers, you're going to learn something different from all of them, and it all adds up, don't it?
Everybody's kind of got their own kind of way of doing stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. You learn as you go. You pick a little bit here, and well, this kind of ain't working the best for this horse, and you learn from it, and you just keep going. Every horse walks different. I mean, like, horses are like people. There's not two people the same.
Yeah. Have you ever discovered that you really screwed a job up, and then what do you do when that happens?
Oh, yeah.
Can you start over? You can't, can you? Just wait till the shoe wears off and then hope you can do it better next time, or what?
Yeah, well, tear the shoe back off, let him go barefoot, and okay. Put a little bit of treatment on it instead. Just take the shoe back off and let him go barefoot for a little bit, and then...
Okay. That makes sense. Does have you ever gotten hurt bad shoeing? Some ornery horse really lets you have it, or
oh yeah, you
lucky.
You get in a few colts or something.
Okay.
You get them kind every once in a while.
Has your big apron always protected you, or have you ever gotten ripped pretty good with the nail?
Not really. Not through the apron. Okay. I mean. Them chaps, they help quite a bit. They do.
Yeah.
They'll save your legs, but I've cut my fingers quite a bit.
On the hands. Yeah.
Nails sticking out. And
mm-hmm. All right. Well, tell me about Saturday nights. What is it you're up to then? Rodeoing.
I ain't too sure about Saturday yet. I got quite a few horses lined up Saturday.
Yeah.
I was wanting to go to either Oklahoma City or Wichita, Kansas this weekend. Try to ride a few, but I don't know. After Saturday, I may be wore out.
Mm-hmm.
I've got quite a few horses Saturday.
Yeah. When was the first time you got on a bull?
I was 17 years old.
Okay. And you were tagging along with a friend, or did you? Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I have trouble understanding this. What the attraction is. Can you explain it to me at all?
There's a lot of people that don't understand it. I guess we're just plumb crazy. I don't know. It's right at first, it is a little bit sketchy right at first. I mean, it kind of works in your mind. You see a lot of people get hurt and blah, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. But after you get on so many, you get hurt a couple times, mm-hmm. you just kind of get used to it. I mean, it kind of works in your body.
Yeah.
If you, let's say during the summer, you ride it every day, every other day, all week or whatever. During the summer is the busy time, and you're not getting sore. You're really wondering, mm-hmm. like, what are you doing? Are you doing anything?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're not sore, you probably ain't riding very good.
Is it better when you get released on the bull to be kind of tighten up tight, or is it better to be relaxed, or what kind of frame of mind do you try to get into when you're getting ready to go?
Being calm with them helps a lot.
I see.
Being calm.
Mm-hmm. Is there a bull that, or several bulls that, when you see them and you're getting on it, you think, "Oh crap, not this one again"?
Yeah, actually, I've had a couple of them. I've had one just 2 weeks ago down here at Sedalia.
Hmm.
I had one rear up in a chute and smash me up against the back of the chute.
Yeah.
It wasn't too nice, but I got one rode down there. It was all right, I guess. Bucked off three, rode one.
Yeah.
Could have been better. Could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
Walked out fine. Yeah. Went to work Monday morning. I was all right.
Have you broken a lot of ribs over time or just that one last summer?
I broke quite a few. Yeah. 4 years ago, I broke a couple on one side, and then last summer, I broke a couple more on the other side.
Yeah. Once they're healed, they're fine, aren't they?
Yeah,
or do you feel it now even that you've had some...
No, during the day, that really don't bother me much, but most of the time, like, when you're laying in bed, laying on your belly, they don't hurt, but they're just like irritating. You know. They're just poking you like they're just irritating.
Yeah. Don't you have some trouble with dislocating your shoulder too?
Yeah. Okay. I've had both shoulders busted up.
Did somebody come along and stick it back in place for you, or as a chiropractor?
Dislocating a shoulder, I've had a couple of them a couple of times. They dislocate it, and then I had AC separation.
Oh, okay. That's in your knee, right?
No, that's in the shoulder.
Oh, okay.
I had a third-degree AC separation on this shoulder, and then I had a second-degree AC separation on this shoulder.
That sounds rough. How long were you out of work with that?
Actually, I didn't miss any work.
Okay.
I've been sore a lot, but a lot of people wouldn't go to work, but if I can move, I'm probably going to work.
Well, I'll tell you my story. We were building the house after the tornado took ours. We had an ice storm, and I slipped on the ice and, what do they call it, tore my rotator cuff?
Rotator cuff, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And everyone said, and it didn't really hurt, I just couldn't make my arm work. You know, I couldn't raise my arm. Yep. Everybody said, you're going to have surgery on that. And everybody told me that. Well, I knew if I had surgery, they'd stick me in a sling. I wouldn't be able to do anything for 6 weeks. Because I discovered that even though I was building a house, if I needed the arm up in the air, I'd just lift it up with that arm and hold what I needed to. Yep. And then when I was done, down it'd come.
That's
and over time, it healed itself.
That's where I get into trouble a little bit, like working on them steel buildings and stuff, putting up ceiling and stuff. And when we get in on the inside, when we're doing the ceiling on the inside, lifting any kind of metal up over my head, after a while, my shoulders get really sore. But whenever I did hurt them, I went to the chiropractor a couple of times, and he told me to do a lot of exercise. Okay. Do a lot of exercise, you know. Touch your toes, touch the ground. Do a lot of exercise. That helped a lot. And there was a couple of days where I didn't. I was just too lazy to do exercise. And then next morning you wake up, and your shoulder's sore, and
I get a bang out of the story you told me about what you did about your broken nose. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, tell us about how you took care of your broken nose.
Well, I went to a bull riding up there in Milan, come down to a friend of mine. They took an ink pen, and they cut it off, about that long. They cut it off and stuff it, straighten my nose up, and then stuff it up your nose. And that'll keep your nose straight till it gets healed up, you know. And you can still breathe through it.
Okay, otherwise you got to breathe through your mouth because the nose is so swollen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you've heard that story, I'm sure, Marissa. Mm-hmm. I hope you don't ever have to witness it. Well, there he is again with an ink pen up his nose. Yeah. Tell us how bull riding works. You pay a entry fee.
Yeah.
Is it always $50 or sometimes higher?
No. It'll depend what association you're in or what you're riding for. But it'll be anywhere from $50 to $300.
Oh my. Okay. The judges, how's that work? Who determines what's going on?
They got judges that are qualified for judging all them rough stock riders, and then they got timers for the timed events and stuff. Okay.
Mm-hmm. What are the judges looking at?
Mostly how good the rider's setting and how hard the stock's bucking. Mm-hmm. And then they just they got one on each side, and then all the pro rodeos, they'll have one on the back of the bucking chutes too.
I see. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. You probably are doing at least 40 plus rodeos a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Every bit of it.
Yeah. I can see that. Seems like you're always going. I used to deliver milk to a fella in Paquin Towers in Columbia, and he could walk with crutches, but most of the time he was in a wheelchair. And I don't remember his last name, his first name was Bob. He drank a lot of milk. And so Bob, I guess you would call a paraplegic. He could not walk. He could get around on crutches. And he rode the rodeos all the time, but he actually had an accident in a car is what did this to him.
Yep.
And the funny thing about Bob, he tells me the story, every Friday night he'd go to a bar in Columbia where they had a mechanical bull, and he'd get on the mechanical bull and just have a great time. And after a while, the people running this one particular bar said, "We're going to let you do this anymore, and we're just afraid of what might happen." And I remember him saying, you know, I told him, I said, "What do you think's going to happen to me? I'm going to become a paraplegic?" But they made him quit, but he found another tavern that would let him. "What do you think's going to happen? I'm going to become a paraplegic?" Good memories of Bob. Drank a lot of milk.
Milk.
You do too.
Yeah. Milk's good for your bones.
Yeah. Yeah, and moving. Got to keep moving.
Joints.
Let's see. You met Marissa through the rodeoing, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Who chased who, or did you collide?
Oh, no, he threw a suitcase over the top of the fence at a rodeo we were at, and it almost hit me.
I didn't catch that. You threw a suitcase?
No, he did.
Oh,
he had
okay.
a suitcase. I don't think he really remembered because he was too focused on getting home.
That's funny. So that was your first date, almost getting the head. And the second date was another rodeo, I guess. Yeah. Did you find yourselves just kind of going to a lot of the same ones? Marissa, you do what event?
Barrel racing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. How long have you been doing that? 10 years?
No, actually, I started out with American Saddlebreds. We've done that ever since. Like, my dad did it when he was young, grew up. And then, so I've probably been barrel racing for about 3 years.
Right.
Probably 2 years competitively.
All right. Yeah. Hmm.
So.
When you're riding bulls, are you ever thinking, "I'm going to do better than that guy"?
Yep.
So you do have competitiveness amongst you all.
There's a lot of times, sometimes there'll be one or two guys right ahead of you, and they're just your bulls. They got three bulls on each side.
Yeah.
A three shoots, and there's a lot of times when he's making pretty ride. That looks just like he's just having a blast. And I mean, he's gonna win all the money. I got to do better than that. I mean,
okay.
you got to get a better score than that. You, I mean, you want to get a little bit of that money. You better ride.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a lot of times like that.
Bull riding seems to be the preferred sport of choice of ex-Amish young men. Can you explain that?
I don't know. I guess we just been raised up a little rough or something. I don't know.
Well, and you enjoy being around horses. You know, I from what I know of Amish, I think most Amish are Amish because they love horses.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them have them.
I think that's just part of who they are, and that's, you know, cars, well, they're not so bad, but give me a horse. So I suppose that's part of it, just getting around the cattle and the horses, and you've left a lot of that behind, so, yeah. So your last name is Schwarzentruber.
Schwarzentruber, yep.
But that's also the name of the tribe of Amish that you're from.
Yep, that's the church.
So
yep.
Does that mean your great-great-great-great-grandfather founded the Schwarzentruber Amish?
I don't really know. I mean, my dad was a Schwarzentruber. My grandpa was a Schwarzentruber. Yeah. I don't know. As far back
can't
as
answer
I...
answer that question.
I don't know. As, right. as much as I know, they've all been Schwarzentrubers. Yeah. Now, and my mom's size Millers.
Can you? I know some differences. Can you explain what's different about Schwarzentruber Amish and other Amish?
Yeah. Schwarzentruber Amish are... There's a lot of old order Amish and new order Amish, but yeah. Schwarzentruber is probably about as strict as I know that any Amish are.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have any, they're all kerosene lanterns and no chainsaws, all cross cut. We build our house, we cut all the trees down with cross cuts and everything. But
you can use gas engines.
We can use gasoline engines, washing machine, table saw, anything in the shop.
That you can run with a gas engine.
With a gas engine, yeah. Right. Or we got a diesel engine that'll run like a baler, hay baler, or a feed grinder.
Yeah. I asked a friend of mine, Andy Gingrich, who belongs over at Clark Amish.
Yeah, they're pretty much the same as what our group was, but I'd say they're probably just a notch up from us.
Yeah. I said, who's more strict than you all? And he said, well, there's a group that doesn't use gas engines. Instead, their power is horses on treadmills.
Yeah.
That's pretty primitive. But that's the way it works for them. Now, one thing I've noticed is that the Schwarzentrubers chew a lot of tobacco.
Yeah. Yeah, they all like chewing tobacco. Chewing tobacco and cigars.
Cigars. Do the women do either?
No. Okay. No, women don't do no tobacco. Okay.
What age do young Schwarzentrubers tend to start chewing?
Usually right after they get out of school. Or
okay.
Some of them don't. Well, if you get as right as me, you may sneak it to school.
Okay. Lucky teacher. Yeah.
Yeah, 15, 16, they usually...
I heard one guy say once he chewed tobacco, and this preacher was yakking at him, trying to get him to change his evil ways. So the fellow that chewed the tobacco said, do you think I can chew tobacco and still go to heaven? And the preacher thought a while, and he said, well, yeah, I think you'd probably go to heaven and still chew tobacco, but you might have to go to hell to spit. What about beer and alcohol?
No, they don't. They do a little bit of whiskey. My dad always had a little bit of whiskey in the closet that old kids get sick or something. Yeah. They wash their mouth off or
mush. It's not a beer every night.
No.
Or a couple of beers.
No.
Like my wife. Yeah, interesting. Is there anything that, looking back, you really miss about the community you came from?
Yeah, there's a lot of things I miss. I don't know. I just like they're hardworking. I don't know. There's a lot of things I miss. Family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of good things about them.
Yeah. You know what I observe that I'm jealous of, and that's the frolics.
Yep. Yep. You know? Everybody helps each other. Yep. No money. Just free meal, and then your neighbor has a frolic, you go help them. Mm-hmm. It's just everybody in the community helps each other. Right?
Maybe I need to back up a minute and explain a little more what a frolic is, or maybe you can. What do you envision
just,
when you say that?
Look, everybody in the whole Amish community come, you say you want to build a house, you get everything Like, when my dad built a house, me and my brothers, every morning before we went to school, we didn't have no chainsaw. We cut all the trees down by cross cut. And before we went to school, we cut 2 or 3 trees down, and we was making pretty good headways with the cross cut. Yeah. And got home from school, we cut a couple more down, and after we get all the trees cut down, cut all the logs, we'd drag them out with the horses, get everything ready, and then my sister's husband had a sawmill, and he come over and cut all the logs. We'd let them sit. We cut them during the winter, and then we let all the logs sit all winter, and then next spring, he come over and cut all the lumber for us. We had everything figured up, what it'd take, and he cut all them logs up. Then a frolic, after you get everything ready, doing pouring concrete and everything, you just send everybody a letter on the mail of what you're doing, and that just everybody shows up at your house. That'd be 50 to 100 people there.
Yeah.
And
I always say that I don't feel like I really know another man until I've worked with him.
Yeah.
And there's just something special in manhood about working with other men. That's how we get to know each other.
Yep.
Sitting down and yakking, I don't really know what he's made out of.
Yep, yep.
But when I'm working with a
you
guy,
can,
I find
sometimes
out.
You can kind of tell what kind of person he is. But actually working with somebody tells you a lot more than words will.
Yep, yep. I used to have a lot of kids working for me when we had our milk business. And if a guy talked all the time, he didn't stick around. I'm not saying we don't talk when we work, but if that's all they want to do, they are gone. Some people are that way. Was there something that happened how do I put this? Did you think about leaving your community for quite a while before it happened, or did it just kind of, bam, I'm out of here?
No, it took quite a bit of thinking.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of good things about it. Mm-hmm. I still be Amish, but I got places to be. I like riding bows. I go to a lot of places a horse wouldn't go.
Yeah.
I travel a lot.
Oh. Well, this is a compliment to you. One day I was asking Pete whether his brother Enos would find a girlfriend up mm-hmm. there in the community. And Pete said, well, yeah, if he's not too picky. So I guess Pete's a little picky and he found one worth picking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anything within our English culture that just, man, you people need to straighten this out, which we won't, but are there things about our English culture that just drive you nuts?
Oh, not necessarily.
Okay.
I roll with anybody. I go with the flow most of the time.
Well, you worked with me maybe a half dozen times, maybe more than that, but not all that much. But it's always a privilege when you come by to help because you make things happen. And when you came over to help paint the courthouse bell tower, clock tower with Micah, I'd look up there and I'd think, I thought Pete was working today. But I don't see him. And I'd walk around. Oh, my God. There he is. He got out of the cage, and he's walking around on some narrow ledge with a, you're only 90 foot up off the ground with a paintbrush in your hand. I think, well, that's Pete. That's how I get things done. You know, situations like that, I get what I call weak in the crotch. But that doesn't seem to bother you, or...
I never been scared of heights, really.
Yeah.
I ain't really scared of much of anything, really. Yeah. Scared of, I don't know. I don't know. There ain't much that scared me, really.
Yeah. Do you ever look at your life and say, 10 years from now, this is where I want to be?
Yeah. I plan to have my own farm.
Okay.
Someday.
Mm-hmm. So you're socking some money away then?
Trying.
And
trying.
Getting to know the banker. So you can borrow some money. I think, to me, that's the most frustrating thing I see out here in rural America right now, is that land is no longer affordable.
Yeah, it's really...
The wrong people are buying it.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us that know how to really take care of it and can really enjoy it and raise a family on it, man, it's tough to try and get our hold.
It takes a lot of money.
Yeah, it takes a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Well, you're on the road. I guess knowing you is part of what makes life good for me. I've enjoyed it immensely. As that old milk customer, rodeo rider, paraplegic, used to say, every time I'd drop off the milk and go out the door, he'd say, "Well, Sam, be careful." So the same to you, buddy. Be careful.
We'll try it.
Okay.
Hopefully it works.
Yeah, thanks for this time here.
Yep.
When I called Pete about doing this interview, he told me he wouldn't do it. Said, when I win a rodeo buckle, they put a mic in my face and I just clam up. I just can't get anything out. "Ah, come on, Pete," I said. "You know I'm always talking you into doing things. If it feels uncomfortable, we'll just quit." You can see I loosened his tongue. Marissa's gal is from Fulton. She started nursing school last fall. That and working 5 part-time jobs to pay the bills wasn't working, and she dropped school. "I'll get back to it another time," she says. When I met her, she was finishing a paint job on her pickup bed and was so proud of that part of her day's work. She works a donut shop, gives horse riding lessons to a bunch of folk aged 3 to 80, and 3 other jobs, including mucking out horse stalls. She and Pete don't get a lot of time together. When they can cross paths, she can't keep her eyes off Pete. She's solid, not just a flipping, flopping buckle bunny. Paperwork crossing my desk at the courthouse said Schwarzentruber had failed to declare his property tax. Amish are slow at taking the world of taxation seriously. But my head went this way. That one's a worker, and I called him to look at the courthouse clock tower job. "When I get caught up," he said. Last September, he gave us 3 days a week for a month, and the tower job was done. 2 to 3 days a week, he'd shoe horses, making $300 to $500 a day at that, socking what he can away for that land he will buy one day. You can tell in a hurry he's earned the right to wear his cowboy hat. He has in winter black hair wavy down to his shoulders and dark eyes to match. Constantly in motion, on to the next job. But at night, when the day is through, it's time to fry up a steak, down apples, oranges, glasses of milk, lean back in the chair, and talk with a friend of tasks accomplished, tricks learned on how to get a job done right, and folks you shouldered up with, good and bad. Talk of tomorrow and the next day. National news? Who's got time for that crap? As I've said, it's enjoyable just being around Pete and his gal Marissa. How'd he come to help populate Howard County? As I write this, it's December. It's 2 a.m. and I'm watching the moon, light orange in its second phase, sink over the hill to the west. Full moon Friday and the winter solstice. Pete's brother Enos helps tell the story of how both of their migrations happened. It's about tough decisions weighing down on 17-year-old boys looking to become young men. The bishop rulemakers of their community, Amish tribe, have legislated that to get to an off-farm job, you can only get there by walking, or going away for work no further than your horse can take you. No hiring of an English car driver to take a gang of you to a job site. As a young man looking at a way to start and support a family, you're kind of up against a wall. You can't afford land to farm. Small-scale agriculture doesn't give the returns to pay for that land. Puppy mills, vegetable trading, training horses, it's tough making all that work. Many do, but many more say, screw it, I'm out of here. Construction crews will pay these fellas $20 and up per hour for their skills, and they are worth every penny of it. Back to Pete's brother, Enos. Just turned 17, and he called Pete to come and get him. At 18, the young folk get baptized and pledge to walk the straight and narrow. Once baptized, you can't come and go to see your family. You'll be shunned if you decide to go to the English world. Pete called me. Can you work Enos some? He doesn't have a social security card, so I can't take him on my work crew jobs yet. I had only recently made a list of things I was in a bad way for getting done on my 400 acres. I calculated it would be 3 summers worth of work for me alone. Then along comes Enos. In 6 weeks, we built fence, cut out thorn trees, added 30 foot to the goat barn, put up hay. Enos had never driven a tractor pulling a rake, but he took to it quickly. We chopped a winter's supply of firewood, repaired equipment, milled lumber, sweat together a lot. Every day I'd say, Enos, we've put in 10 hours. Are you ready to quit? His reply was, it's been an easy day, Sam. Let's go another 2 hours. The 3 summers' worth of work was done in those 6 weeks. And after 4 trips attempting to get his social security number, we finally succeeded. That and a driving permit. He had officially stepped into our English world. Pete's first task with Enos was to get out his show horse clippers and got Enos's mop of hair under control. Under that mop was Burt Reynolds-type good looks, maybe even better. He wore a constant smile, nonstop laughter, and good stories around the lunch table. He wormed his way into my wife and grandkids' hearts on day one. Enos is a Bible name. He was Adam's grandson and lived to be 905 years old. Our Enos did not know that. He just said he was named after his grandpa, as far as he knew. I never saw a man sweat as much as Enos. He went through gallons of ice water every day, and so did I. He was short on clothes. My son Patrick cleaned out a drawer of t-shirts at him, and I took him into Fayette to the attic for some much cooler-to-wear button-down shirts. I could never be Amish. One reason, they wear too many clothes in the summer. Slowly, Enos learned to run around on a hot day half-naked like me. Enos worked too fast to always be safe, and his hands wore scars to prove it. I worked at trying to slow him down some. He quickly took to bull riding with Pete on weekends. He said, every time I land in the dirt, I think, this is how I'll ride that sucker differently next time. Too busy working to think about it much, but driving home to Pete's at night, I could sense back home was pulling on him. Kathleen and I went to a rodeo in Sturgeon in July to watch the brothers. After his second ride, Enos came up and sat with me. I'm going back home, he said. I told myself if I had to go back in August, I needed to go then. If I stayed in your world any longer, I knew I would never go back. So I'll ask my folks if they'll take me back, and then I'll decide while I'm there which will be my world. I turn 18 in February and would be baptized next summer. You've done so much for me, Sam, and working with you has been special. I have a solar-powered charger for my smartphone. I'll have to keep it ducked. If my older brother sees it, it'll be in the bottom of a pond. I'm on Facebook, so we'll stay close. Pete's going to drop me home next weekend. Enos and I text and call. His word is, I've been all set to leave home again several times, but my best friend Eli keeps talking me out of it. But I don't know that I can do this life. Our paths will cross again, Sam. Big decisions for a 17-year-old. If you enjoyed this session of Let's Get to Talkin', encourage friends out of the range of our low power station to catch us online. Just Google Sam Stroop SoundCloud and the newest and oldest sessions will pop up. If you, like me, have a long day of being focused on my work and life, it's a great day's end to get my mind bent a bit around the life beat of the folks around me. This is Sam Stroop. Catch you next week. Let's get to talking.